The second Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos deals with actually a case that does not necessarily pertain to a Friday afternoon, does not necessarily pertain just to an Erev Shabbos situation, but rather really deals with a case that one must be concerned every single afternoon throughout the entire year. What must one be concerned about? The Mishnah says, Lo yeshev adam nifnei hasapar samuch lamincha. Ad sheis palo. A person should not go and sit down to have a haircut adjacent to the time of mincha until one in fact davens. Why is that? Why must a person not engage in the activity of getting a haircut, and as we shall soon see, other activities before the appropriate time of mincha? So when it comes to the sapar, when it comes to visiting the barber, what might happen? A person can be totally distracted. I totally forget about davening mincha. I'm so focused on looking good and the haircut process. Or perhaps other mefarshim explain that maybe something might break and we'll be so busy trying to fix it. Again, we'll forget and the time for mincha will pass. What is the time for mincha when it says in our Mishnah? Samuch l'mincha. There are two possible explanations. One is the earlier time for mincha known as mincha gedola. And one is the later time for mincha, which is known as mincha ketana. The day is broken down into various parts. It is broken down primarily into 12 equal hours of daylight. And after 6.5 hours, one can daven mincha, which is called mincha gedola. So samuch l'mincha would be half hour before that, or around the 6 hour, around the midday mark. The other time for mincha, which is called mincha ketana, is in fact 9.5 hours. Therefore, samuch l'mincha would be 9 hours into the day, is perhaps the ideal time to daven mincha. Again, based on korbanos, which is not our topic right now, but nonetheless, these are the times, perhaps, that the Mishnah is referring to. That earlier time is quite early, it's just a little bit, it's midday. The Mishnah continues and explains us other activities that a person also must refrain from getting involved in, for the fear that they will forget to daven mincha, and the time will pass, and mincha will be omitted on that day. What are these other activities? The Mishnah continues, Lo yikanes adam lemercha, a person cannot enter a bathhouse, Lo leburski, a person cannot go into a leather tanning place, Lo lecho velo ledin, and a person cannot begin a meal, nor begin adjudicating, for fear of that one will forget to daven mincha because they are totally engrossed in these activities. What is wrong with entering a bathhouse? Not only might one engage in bathing oneself and be forgetful of the time and lose the sense of time, but also they might, shall we say, from the schwitz, from the heat, in fact, faint and collapse or become exhausted, overly relaxed because of the bathing experience. And this bursiki, a place where the leather is produced and made. Again, it is something which, an activity which a person can be so engrossed in and involved in, and perhaps something might go wrong, and they'll be so distraught over losing money, that they might, again, miss the time to daven. And when it refers here to a meal, even a small meal, even a meal which is just a snack, a person might be so engrossed in eating, they might forget to daven. What exactly refers, what's the definition of a snack and refers to a meal, that halacha will define for us, but for now, we should not eat and begin a meal, regardless of its content. Perhaps one might have to wash, perhaps one has to eat bread in order to establish a meal, but even a snack which consists of bread, no matter if it's not considered an official lunch or an official dinner, one must not begin after one could in fact daven mincha. We refer to adjudication, even if it's perhaps just the end of the process, and all we need to do is bang down the gavel and reach some type of final conclusion about who is innocent and who is guilty. Nonetheless, if they could be petitioned, they could be questioned, and therefore one should not engage in the judicial process whatsoever after the appropriate time for mincha. What happens if one, in fact, begins all these activities beforehand? Says the Mishnah, If one has started all these activities, one is not obligated to stop once the time of mincha begins, provided, of course, there was enough time to finish the activity properly before the end of mincha. What is considered the end of the time to daven mincha? It is generally understood as shkiyas hachama. It is referred to as sunset. If there's enough time to bathe, there's enough time to visit the leather tannery and to get work done, there's enough time to eat a meal and to adjudicate, if there's enough time until the sun goes down, one will be able to get in the tefillah of mincha beforehand, before the day has ended, then we'll be permitted to begin all of these activities. The Mishnah concludes, Mafsigin l'kros kriyat shema, then mafsigin l'tefillah. The Gemara explains very clearly, it's not referring to everybody, it's referring to specific individuals, like Shimon Bar Yochai, individuals who they're learning. Their Torah-san is Uma-Nusan. Their learning is their craftsman. Learning is their job. That is what they do. That is what they do all of the time. And such individuals, they must stop to recite Kriyat Shema. They must stop to recite Kriyat Shema, which is from the Torah. They only have a certain amount of time where one can, in fact, recite Kriyat Shema. You know that a person can only recite Shema in the morning until the end of the term Uv Kumecha, like it says in the Torah. After that point in time, one can no longer recite the Kriyat Shema and receive the schar, fulfill the mitzvah, and receive the merit for reciting Shema in its appropriate time in the morning. And at night, one can only recite Kriyat Shema during the time that one actually goes down to sleep. As the language of the Torah tells us, v'shach b'cha, after the sleeping time, person does not receive the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. And so if a person is learning and they might miss this time, they must stop and recite Kriyat Shema. However, ein mafsikin l'tefillah, person whose Torah is their job, learning Torah is what they do all of the time, such a person would not stop to daven, would not stop to recite one of the various tefillos. And the reason is because that is only the Rabbanon ensuring that you've davened at the appropriate time. As opposed to Shema, which is written in the Torah, the one must recite at the appropriate time. When it comes to davening, the time is only the Rabbanon, and therefore, if they're learning Torah, they do not need to stop and daven. However, very important, Gemara goes on to say, who does this really apply to? It's only Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his chaverav and his beis din, because they would never stop, they would never take a break from learning. But anybody else, if someone else maybe would go out and take a break from their learning, of course the break must be davening, must be tefillah. Since most people stop their learning to take a break of some sort, they must, of course, daven tefillah as well, and they would not be patur from. The third Mishnah in Masechet Shabbos goes back to a case that refers to Erev Shabbos, and back to a case that specifically pertains to Shabbos. What does it tell us? That a tailor should not go out into a public domain close to the time of dark with his needle attached to himself. Perhaps, shall we say, a place in his clothing. Why? What are we concerned about? Shema yishkach v'yaitzei. Maybe what might happen if he places this needle in his clothing before it gets dark, and he walks around, he goes outside, he'll end up carrying this needle in Rishus HaRabim, it'll be Chayav Daraisa. So the rabbis tell us, do not do this, do not walk around too close to the time of darkness before Shabbos with a needle in your belongings. And even though perhaps they were used to it, these tailors were used to taking their needles and placing it in their clothing because of convenience, one should refrain from doing so because white, in fact, transgressed the Isser of Hotzah, of carrying from a private to a public domain. Continues the Mishnah, V'lo halav lar b'kul moso. And similarly, a scribe should not walk out with his pen, because what might end up happening? Also, similarly, he might have the same situation. He might walk out into a public domain and violate the Isra of Hotzah, similar to the previous case. Other cautionary measures that the Mishnah mentions, V'lo yifla es kelav. A person should not burn various lice around his clothing using the candle close to Shabbat. What are we concerned about? We are concerned that a person would be so distracted from cleaning the lice and these insects, these small creatures from his clothing, that he'll in fact continue to do so on Shabbos itself and be over on Havar. On this theme, the Mishnah continues to tell us, L'or Haner, that a person should not read using the light of a candle. Why not? What are we concerned about? We are worried that someone will come and tip over this candle. And what, in fact, this will cause is that the oil will be drawn towards the wick in order for the wick, shall we say, to shine and to provide better light. And therefore, you'll be chayav. Why? V'nimtza mavir b'shabbos. You'll be transgressing, again, havara. You'll be transgressing this kindling on Shabbos. That is why, continues the Mishnah, be emes amru. Achazan roa heichan atinokos korin avahu lo yikra. A teacher of children would be permitted to look into the sefer to see where they're beginning from the reading, where they're going to conclude, because we're not concerned that a teacher looking in a little bit will be worried that he'll start playing with the candle and perhaps lead to the isser of havara. However, avahu lo yikra imahim, he would not be permitted to read in front of these children. The entire section of text, the Parsha Kula. Why? Because we are worried that if he is engrossed in his teaching and in his learning, as opposed to the child, we're not worried that when he's looking into the sefer, we're not concerned that he'll start playing around and to draw more oil into the wick, because he'll have the aim, he'll have the fear of the teacher upon him, as opposed to if the teacher himself is the one who's looking in, and if he gets, shall we say, too involved in the actual lesson, in the actual discourse, might become distracted and might lead to wanting to have a stronger light, which would lead to tipping the candle and having the oil draw into the wick, thereby leading to Havara. Mishnah concludes, Kayotsebo, and similarly, just like Chachamim made a gzera for fear of someone acting in a way that they're used to behaving, and therefore they made a gzera that such a situation should be avoided. What is the case that the Mishnah ends with? Lo yochav hazav im hazava mipnei hergel avera. That a man who is a zav, a man who had an extra emission, and similar, a woman who's had an emission, should not eat together because of hergel avera. They are used to being together. And should a person have relations with a zava, it is an iser kares. And therefore, such a serious type of prohibition, we want to make sure that they stay far away from each other. So this Mishnah ultimately deals with situations, focusing, of course, on what to do and what to avoid to do on Erev Shabbos, and concludes also with another situation, the Chazomet Gzera, to avoid in order to refrain being over on an Avera.